Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. We've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and of course, Fly Jams Friday. Vic Vaughn is off this morning, so we will not have an edition of Vic's Picks, but he'll be back on Monday, and next Friday, we will return with a new Vic's Picks. That's all coming up right here on WGN. If you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. So that was the score from The Terminator, which is actually one of my favorite scores, I have to say.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that score so much. So a new Terminator movie opens today. I'm really curious to see how it does at the box office this weekend.
Yeah, how much does that name mean to people anymore?
Yeah.
I'm very curious about that.
They've been doing a lot of publicity. I mean, you know, I watch all the late night shows. You know, when I get home in the morning, the previous late night shows are what I watch on my DVR almost immediately. And they're all over the place. Arnold Schwarzenegger's all over the place. Mackenzie Davis is all over the place. Linda Hamilton.
Really? Linda's doing...
Oh, yeah. She and Arnold were on Graham Norton Friday together.
You're kidding me.
No, it was awesome.
I mean, and Graham Norton is a great interview.
He is the best. He's awesome.
That's got to be a lot of fun to have those two.
He's so good. Graham Norton is... That show is great. If you don't watch the Graham Norton show, you should do yourself a favor. You got to have BBC America to watch it. It's on Friday nights at 10 o'clock. It's on tonight at 10 o'clock, and I will watch it tonight. I can't remember who the guests are, but I don't care. That's the other thing about that show, is I don't care about the guests. The only time that I will watch either Jimmy Fallon or Corden, or James Corden, is when they have a guest that I really love. That's the only time. Like, I DVR'd Fallon last night because Kristen Stewart's on, and I adore her. So whenever, like, Corden has somebody on that I really like, well, James Corden tonight, or last night, had Arnold and Linda Hamilton together.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're really doing a lot of pushing this thing, and they're dropping James Cameron's name like crazy.
Well, they have to.
Because Linda Hamilton said she was on Jimmy Kimmel, and Linda Hamilton said, I was dead set against doing this thing, but Jim kept calling me and begging me to do it. And it was really funny. It was like, she goes, yeah, Jim, you know, Jim was calling. I didn't answer. A couple of times I didn't answer. And Jimmy Kimmel goes, weren't you married to him? She's like, yeah, that's why I didn't answer the phone. Yeah. So, but no, they're pushing it, and the buzz is not bad. And I got to say that, you know, the scenes that they're showing on these talk shows look great. So I hope it's good. I really do. I haven't liked the Terminator movie in a long time, though. But anyway, here's what they say. This is whatculture.com, which I love that website, by the way. Whatculture.com. Every Terminator movie and show ranked best to worst. The entire Terminator franchise ranked best to worst. Worst to best. So we're going to go worst to best. And I want to hear from you guys, Terminator fans out there. And we're including the Sarah Connor Chronicles are included in here and the movies. So if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. This is the sixth Terminator movie, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so if you want to jump in here, 312-981-7200, if you want to get in here. So, 35 years in the making, the latest Terminator movie might be the last time we see Arnold Schwarzenegger in the role that made him famous. But then again, we've said that before, and it's a real testament to James Cameron's franchise that no matter how many times it's lost its way, there will always be fans willing to go out and watch killer machines stalk humans. It's an action movie ballet that we will never know an end. I haven't been this curious about the box office for a movie in a long time, because I really can't wait till Monday morning when we do the Monday morning movie reviews in the box office to see how much money this movie makes. So,
We got to think about what's the competition.
There's nothing in that genre, for sure.
That genre.
I mean, you've got the Edward Norton movie. You got the Harriet Tubman movie. Those are both completely different audiences coming out this week. And then you've got Arctic Dogs, which is the animated movie about Arctic dogs. We were talking about the movie releases yesterday on Cochran Show, and Cochran goes, what is Arctic Dogs? I said, it's an animated movie about dogs in the Arctic. He goes, all right, that's good.
I thought it was about karate.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the course of those 3.5 decades, we've seen lots of attempts to explain timeline fails, lots of narrative twists with varying degrees of success, and a fair number of performances that have landed on a similar spectrum. But with the spirit of the original, it's never completely gone. Now that Tim Miller's sixth movie which is the seventh release into the TV series, is out and offers some real hope for more movies, provided people actually go and see it. We can look back at the Arnie era of Terminator movies and reflect. So, which is the best and which is the worst? 312-981-7200. So, they rank them worst to best. And I think we can all agree that number seven here that they rank as the worst is Terminator Genesis. I think we can all agree that that's the worst Terminator movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible, terrible movie. Yeah, and its Genesis is spelled all weird. Yeah, it is definitely the worst of the franchise. There's no question about it. The title alone, with its provocatively annoying misspelling, was bad enough. But then Genesis' marketing team, in their infinite wisdom, decided to spoil the film's one interesting plot point in the trailers. From there, it all went downhill very quickly, like even more downhill, fast. For all of its attempts at changing the franchise, the story of Genesis is derivative, largely very obvious, and let down badly by the spoiler marketing campaign. It's also one of the dumbest sci-fi movies ever and operates under the pretense of being intelligent. Jai Courtney is not a charismatic enough form as Kyle Reese. Emilia Clarke isn't spiky enough as Sarah Connor, and director Alan Taylor singularly fails to bring anything to the required style. There's something to be said for Arnold Schwarzenegger's performance as Pops and the sitcom element of him versus Reese, but everything else is mind-numbing. I don't even remember much about the movie. I didn't even remember that Emilia Clarke was Sarah Connor in it. I didn't even remember that.
It's weird. It's got some fairly big names. Jason Clarke is in it from
Zero Dark Thirty.
Zero Dark Thirty. You've got Matt Smith, probably best known for playing Doctor Who.
There was a doctor in that movie?
Yeah, he's...
God, I don't even... I seriously, it must have put this thing...
It's a blur.
It's a... I swear to God. And it was only like 4 or 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, about 4 years ago.
I still don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember any of this.
That came out when I was in college.
Was Emilia Clarke a thing then?
Well, yeah. I mean, Game of Thrones. She was hot.
Well, Game of Thrones was on then, sure.
Yeah, it was... She was...
Oh, okay.
At the peak of probably of her power.
I keep forgetting how long Game of Thrones was on because I stopped watching it really early on.
Yeah, so it was a big deal for them. They're like, oh, they're casting Daenerys as Sarah Connor.
I see.
But she just didn't fit the role. I don't even remember.
I can't tell you. I don't remember. I remember it sucked. The only thing I remember about Terminator Genesis was that it was terrible. That's the only thing that I remember about it. Now was Arnold, he was in that one. Did he play two roles in that?
I know he plays, they call him Pops.
Right.
His nickname is Pops because he plays an older version of the T-800. And I don't know if he shows up in another role there.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a younger T-800. I think there may have been. I don't think I've watched it since I saw it in the theater.
There's no need.
Because I'll give sort of amnesty to a lot of franchise movies if I think they're just good enough to kind of just watch.
Yeah.
This is not even good enough to even
first thing I think of is like the Friday the 13th movies. Some of them are kind of, you know, I'll just put it on.
Yeah. Are there enough good kills to keep me relatively entertained? Yes. There is almost nothing redeeming about
I don't even remember. By the way, Emilia Clarke, this movie, Last Christmas... with Henry Golding. I think it looks great.
I think it looks great.
I think she looks lovely and charming in it, and I like him. I love George Michael, and all the music in it is all the music in it is George Michael. The name of the movie is named after a Wham song, the Wham Christmas song. But I love George Michael. Emma Thompson's in it and co-wrote it. Paul Feig directed it. I think this is going to be a good movie.
Well, I don't know if you know this about me. I generally dislike Christmas movies. Any Christmas?
You don't like The Ref?
I mean, I like it.
Oh man, that's my favorite Christmas movie of all time.
I most things Christmas does not necessarily get me super going.
You don't like Die Hard?
Oh well, we're not going to get into
this. That's a Christmas movie.
Why? Because it takes place during Christmas. Is that the only criteria?
It's a Christmas movie. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So is Gremlins. Gremlins is a Christmas movie. It is.
But is it about Christmas?
It takes place during Christmas. It's a Christmas movie.
Well, then pretty much everything Shane Black has ever done is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Lethal Weapon is a Christmas movie. The Ref is the best Christmas movie of all time.
It's definitely on the better end.
And that's definitely a Christmas movie, The Ref is. it definitely is a Christmas movie.
We could definitely do it. We could use a Terminator Christmas movie. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
T-800 under, I mean, basically, he did Jingle All the Way.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's Arnie.
Oh, my God.
Just make him, make him a cyborg, and boom, you got a Christmas movie that's a Terminator movie.
Why? And I enjoy Sinbad. I know you don't like Sinbad. I don't understand that. How can you not like Sinbad? He's funny.
I don't think he's a bad guy or anything.
And he
like
doesn't
that.
Work blue.
That and I appreciate
he designs his own clothes.
I am aware. I'm aware.
He was on Star Search. You gotta love the Sinbad.
It's just he never super made me laugh.
All right.
But I appreciate that he it's hard to not work blue.
So The Ref, that's my favorite Christmas movie, followed very closely by the original Black Christmas, which is a great, and that's a Christmas movie.
I'll kind of give you. It is a kind of about Christmas. They do Christmassy things.
You don't like A Christmas Story?
I do like it. That's an exception, not the rule.
Okay.
Because it's satirizing how ridiculous Christmas is.
What about you don't like It's a Wonderful Life?
I like it.
Oh, man.
If it's on, I'll watch it. But I'm not running out to the store to get, eggnog and gingerbread.
I watch The Ref every year on Christmas Eve. Every year on Christmas Eve I watch The Ref. I watch it usually more than once a year, but I watch it every year on Christmas Eve. I adore that movie. I think that movie is just fantastic. I love everything about it. And everybody is so good in it. Like, the stuff between Judy Davis and Kevin Spacey is fantastic. Judy Davis is amazing in it. She's amazing in everything, though. And Dennis Leary, hilarious. Ugh. So, all right. We're going to have to convince Tom to enjoy some Christmas movies, for God's sake. Do you enjoy Scrooge? Because that's what you are.
Oh, stop it. Come on now.
All right, let's take a break. We all agree that Terminator Genisys is absolutely the worst thing about the franchise. Terminators, so we're going to talk about Terminator franchise, and we're ranking everything from worst to best. Terminator Dark Fate opens today, and it'll be curious to see how much the movie makes. 312-981-7200. I totally forgot that this was in T2.
Yeah, yeah. Big promotional push for GNR there.
Oh, man. Well, it was 1991, you know. That's the era of Guns N' Roses right there. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. We're also going to explain some cultural references that younger people might not understand that appeared on Seinfeld. And more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We are now ranking from worst to best the Terminator franchise. A new Terminator movie opens today, Terminator Dark Fate. Chris sends in his rankings. If you guys want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. He sent in his rankings. Worst to best, Terminator Genisys, Terminator Salvation, Terminator 3, The Terminator, and T2. He didn't rank the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which is mentioned in this article. All right, let's get back to it. So the worst is Terminator Genisys. The next one that's on here as number six is Terminator Salvation. It says a lot about Terminator Salvation that the single most enduring memory attached to it is of Christian Bale's on-set meltdown that was so unfortunately recorded and passed on to the voracious media. It's a shame, too, because Salvation isn't entirely without merit. There are actually some really good ideas in there. It's just the way it was put all together. That's the problem. It held promise, of course, as we'd wanted to see an actual war movie pitting humanity against the machines, but the film is weirdly soulless. It comes down to the writing more than anything, and it's another of those morality tales that has too many cooks, given how much rewriting went on. That's why shoehorned nostalgia references take the place of actual character development, and why the story bridging lacks flow. It's also directed by McG. I hated Terminator Salvation.
See, and I thought it was okay. I thought it was. I enjoyed enough of it, probably because of the presence of Anton Yelchin as a young Kyle Reese. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty inspired. Bryce Dallas Howard, is pretty good in it, and I think Christian Bale's pretty good as like a war-torn John Connor. Where they were in the mythology, I thought it was the right place to go. They just didn't. They didn't stick the landing.
Well, I don't. Here's another thing. I guess I don't remember any Terminator movies. I don't remember anything about this movie. I swear to God, I don't remember. Like it says in the article, the only thing I remember is Christian Bale's meltdown.
Well, yeah.
And it's not even in the movie, but we have it, right? It's censored. We can play it.
Yeah, we got a little bit.
By the way, I love this meltdown. And when it happened, everybody was like, oh, he's going to be coming off as a jerk. I totally side with Christian Bale on this. Absolutely. I totally side. The director of photography is not supposed to stand in the middle of a shot and distract the actor from doing what he's supposed to do, which is what he did. And obviously, you know, McGee's a terrible director and probably didn't do anything, you know, to stop this. So I totally, here's the thing that I love about this meltdown is that his American accent kind of stays. It's mostly in, you know, you can kind of hear the British thing in there a little bit, but he's so method that he screamed at the DP with an American accent. Because he's got a very thick sort of Cockney accent, Christian Bale. He's got a great accent. But yeah, so this is Christian Bale. He was on the set of Terminator Salvation. Somebody, crew member, obviously recorded this and leaked it, and it made it all on the internet. And it was the big story before the movie came out. That was the big thing. So let's listen to Christian Bale go nuts.
Am I going to walk around and rip your fucking lights down in the middle of a scene? Then why the fuck are you walking right through like this in the background? What the fuck is it with you? What don't you fucking understand? You got any fucking idea about, hey, it's fucking distracting having somebody walking up behind Bryce in the middle of the fucking scene? Give me a fucking answer. What don't you get about it?
I was looking at the light.
Oh, good for you.
I love it. I absolutely love it, man.
It's insane. And you've got Mick G there, like trying to calm him down.
Yeah.
And it's just not happening.
Yeah.
It's just not happening.
Oh, man. It goes on even longer, but it's
oh, good for you.
That's a soundbite that I have here at the ready all the time.
Oh, good for you.
So anyway, I don't remember anything about the movie. I don't remember anything.
Well, I'll say this. I like it because it takes place, it kind of gets rid of the time travel thing. They were like, okay, we're done with the time travel thing. We can't just keep milking that. It's getting tiresome.
Right.
So they place it in the middle of the actual war against the machines.
Okay.
So it takes
right.
place in 2018.
I do remember that. Yeah, I do remember that.
So it's just, I thought it was a pretty rich story place to go with it and show, like, well, we've heard all about this war, all this war against the machines. When are we actually going to see it? This is it.
And we only saw little bits of it in the other movies.
Yeah, we saw, and they're great bits.
Yeah.
But they show an actual war against the machines. They're right smack dab in the middle of it. And them trying to struggle to actually come out on top. And John Connor is worried that this is not the war that his mom warned him about. Something's changed.
Right.
Something is different.
Right.
So all this setup is there. It's all really interesting. It's just they decided to put Sam Worthington in a movie.
Oh,
and that's your
right.
first mistake.
Oh, my God, that's right. Sam Worthington's in it.
Back when they thought that he was going to be a star.
Can you imagine that? Who's the guy who played, who was in... Battleship. What's that other idiot?
Oh, it was Jai Courtney?
No, Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, Taylor Kitsch.
Like, that guy was going to be the big thing,
oh,
right?
Yeah. And then they did.
Was it John
Carter from Mars?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Remember when he was going to be the big thing?
Well, right. He was already Riggins.
Yeah. All right, here's Ike. Go ahead, Ike.
Hey, Nick, how's it going with you, man?
All right.
I have two things on Terminator. Okay, well, first off, the my favorite one is definitely the second one because it really was a groundbreaker with the special effects, and of course it really showed how a sequel can overshadow the original.
Okay.
Yeah, and the second one, I have a very interesting fact I'm not sure you knew about. Arnold Schwarzenegger got inspiration for his performance as a Terminator, and the first one from Yul after watching Yul Brynner in the Westworld.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a classic, Westworld.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Okay, cool. Like, thanks.
No problem.
Take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We're ranking the Terminators, the Terminator franchise, which includes, in this article, it includes the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which I didn't watch. But you said it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think, and when we get to it, I'll share my thoughts on it. I really enjoyed it.
Okay,
I really enjoyed
it. All right, well, why don't we take a break here, and we've got the news coming up, and then we'll jump right back into the world of Terminator. And we want to hear from you guys. Call or text at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. How do you rank the Terminator franchise? And are you going to see the new Terminator? That's a question right there. Maybe we can see how many people are actually going to go check it out. The new Terminator movie opens today. All right, let's take a break, and the news is up after this.
Rockin' body, pretty face, attitude bigger than the sand and grace. It's troubling when she's rumbling, so give her wide berth. Can't help but love her, she's the salt of the earth. Now I wasn't expecting a full-fledged passion assault.
What the hell is this?
This is Arnold Schwarzenegger singing the song On My Own Terms as Cord Belmont.
What? Where is that from?
It's from a film he did in 2017 called Killing Gunther.
Oh, the Hitman movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw that.
Yeah, and he sings.
Didn't Taron Killam direct that? I think Taron Killam wrote, he's in it. I think he wrote and directed it. I think Taron Killam directed that.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Wrote and directed it.
And I happen to be a massive fan of Taron Killam. I think he's hilarious.
He's a very funny man.
Yeah.
Married to...
Kobe Smothers.
Which I'm really, really jealous of.
Of course you are. We all are. Hey, by the way, that doofus from... Starship Troopers. Super Troopers. They separated. Christina Hendricks was like, why have I been with this guy for 10 years?
Oh, so she's be mean to him.
She's on the market, so I'm in.
Yeah. Give her a call.
I'll give Christina Hendricks a call.
How do you feel about twice divorcees?
Well, she's on the verge.
There you go.
Oh, man. Well, I didn't ever heard that before. That was very strange. All right. Hey, we're ranking the Terminator universe right here. The regular features are coming up, by the way. We've got You Big Dummy, which is when I read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. Excuse me. And then we have a Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7, whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle. Jot down the date, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And we also have... Nick D Show Spies. Again, you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me, we want to know about it. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com, and then Fly Jams Friday. All right, Terminator is what we're talking about. Terminator Dark Fate opens. Are people excited about it? Are you going to go see it? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 765 says, Terminator Genesis also turned John Connor into the villain, which is unforgivable.
That it did.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, Jason Clarke is John Connor. He turns into like this kind of nanobot version of John Connor controlled by Skynet.
I don't even remember. Seriously, man.
Trust me, it comes off like a fever dream. Like it's like it didn't happen.
608 error code says T1 is the best. We'll get to that in a little later on. All right, let's check it out now. Back to the What Culture list here. Number 5, they say Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines comes in next. I actually really like this movie. I like Terminator 3 a lot.
Yeah, you and Eric.
Yeah, Eric likes it a lot, and my buddy Mike View, who was in Public Enemies, and he's the guy on the stand in the Batman movie.
I'll show you Hostile.
That's him, man. That's one of my
what a line reading.
One of my best friends.
Big ups to Mike View. What a line reading.
So, more than a decade after Judgment Day, a third chapter in the Connor family story arrived without James Cameron. It's remembered rather cynically, but it was far less terrible than some might make you believe. It was incredibly expensive, and it showed in the film's commitment to spectacle. It's a great action film at its core, and if the character work had matched up that side of the film, the end product might have been significantly better. Sadly, though, Nick Stahl, Claire Danes, and Christiana Loken failed to... I thought Christiana Loken was great as the Terminator. I thought she was great.
I can't really think of anything else she was in other than that.
That's the only thing I can think of, too.
Apparently, she was in The L Word.
Oh, okay.
So
I didn't watch that show. I just remember the big fight. There's a big fight in a men's room where he slams her head through a urinal.
Yeah, that's very true.
I totally remember that. The end picks things up nicely, though, with the introduction of the idea that fate is inevitable and was both a good kick in the teeth and also a clever marketing decision for the franchise. The film shows the first signs that Arnie is really enjoying himself as the T-800. And while that did provide some nice moments further on, it ends up grating here and setting a dangerous precedent that clipped the fangs of one of the best movie badasses of all time. Here's the thing about Terminator 3. I think it's a beautifully directed movie. Now, I'm not as into the Terminator movies as someone like you, to the mythos and all that stuff, so I don't really care. I mean, I like the Terminator movies because they're pretty kick-ass action movies. And on that level, Terminator 3 delivers. It totally delivers. The fight scenes are good. The action scenes are good. And there is a car chase featuring a truck with a cherry picker that's fantastic. And, like, it's not CGI. They're taking a cherry picker, and they're slamming it through buildings. And I just admired that. I thought that, and that's, you know, like they said, it was a very expensive movie to make. That scene alone was insane.
Yeah. How much did that cost to insure and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, God. The total destruction in that chase scene is just fantastic. So I'm a fan of T3.
I might have to go. I'll give it another chance. I got the box set at home, so yeah. I'll give it another chance.
Okay. Yeah. I really enjoy it. I think it's the third best of the movies. So I think a lot of people would probably say that, too, even if they didn't like T3. So next here in ranking the franchise is Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which is something that I didn't watch. Here's what they say, and then I want to get your thoughts on it, Tom, because you were a regular viewer of it. Were there any justice in the world, the Sarah Connor Chronicles would have lived on for more than two seasons. But in the end, despite massive fan efforts, the show was canceled before it ever got to live its full potential. It was canceled before it ever got to live its full potential. It was Fox, right?
Yeah.
Of course it was.
They've kind of got a knack for that.
Of course it was. Still, as spinoffs of major blockbuster franchises go, it's right up there, and it remains this entertaining sci-fi show anchored by an excellent lead performance by Lena Headey. And Summer Glau is Cameron, who is easily one of the franchise's favorite Terminators. As is the case with the entire franchise, the show struggles when it attempts to explain too much, mostly because it's a thankless task. But put that aside, and there's an entertaining, glossy show that deserves way more than a premature cancellation. I remember the buzz about it when it came out. I don't know why I never watched it. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, because it was... I don't know. I know why a large number of people didn't watch it. It's because it was kind of a weird genre show, and doing that sort of thing on TV at that time was always really hit or miss.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living in a world where everything everybody watches is like a weird genre show. Like, I mean, yeah. Game of Thrones. Who would have thought that America would have been captured by a high fantasy Lord of the Rings style epic?
Yeah.
You couldn't, like, when that premiered back in, what, 2011?
I don't even... Yeah, I don't know.
I think it came out in 2011. I didn't think it was going to be successful. I was like, why are they putting this on TV? Who's going to watch this?
Yeah.
And it became the biggest show in America.
I gave up after like four episodes. I don't know what the hell's happening here.
And I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people did. But those who didn't became rabid fans.
Oh, yeah.
And it just got insane. And once everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
And you see all the success of the like DC shows and everything.
By the way, because Emilia Clarke is doing press for Last Christmas, there's a lot of stuff online, you know, with her doing like interviews and bits and stuff. And one of the things that I think it's on the Entertainment Weekly website,
mm-hmm.
Where she rats out who left the coffee cup on the set.
Oh, come on. See, I don't love her. I mean, she seems nice enough, but that's weak. That's weak, man. You don't snitch.
I don't know. All right, let's see. So is that right in terms of ranking? Would you put it there? Would you put Sarah Connor Chronicles there?
Yeah, I think it's better. I think it's better than Terminator 3. I think and the rest of them. The only one up to this point that I would switch is that I would put Terminator 3 a little lower and put Salvation higher.
You would put Salvation over Terminator 3?
Yeah, I liked it better.
Oh my god.
Maybe that'll change. Maybe I got to revisit it again. But I would do that. I would do that. But the Sarah Connor Chronicles, it had the right idea because it skipped. It's a direct sequel to T2.
Well, so is the new one.
Exactly. This is the thing. Just make a direct sequel to that.
Yeah. So that's what they did, is they completely ignored, you know, all of the stuff that happened between. So like Dark Fate, the new one, which comes out today, is actually a sequel to T2.
Yeah, it's ostensibly Terminator 3. Everything after T2 that has come out is ostensibly Terminator 3.
Yeah.
You've got actual Terminator 3, Terminator Salvation, Sarah Connor Chronicles, Terminator Genesis. Those are all basically Terminator 3.
Right.
And now this, Dark Fate.
I remember when they made H2O, it was just a direct sequel. It was like the only the stuff in the first two happened, so they got rid of all of that, the Daniel Harris crap and the cult of Thorn, all that garbage from the sequels. It was a direct sequel H2O. Nothing happened. There was no Halloween 3 has nothing to do with it, but 4, 5, and 6. Never happened, according to H2O, which I thought was a great way to go.
Yeah, and same thing with Halloween 2018, except it just went directly from the original.
Yeah. I can't believe they're making two more.
I was shocked.
It made a lot of money.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, last year at this time, earlier, if you were to tell me, like, last September, that I would hate the Halloween reboot and love the Suspiria remake, I would have told you to shut up. Because I was like, the Suspiria, and I'm wearing a Suspiria t-shirt from the remake right now. Because half my wardrobe is Suspiria.
It was just the other day, you were wearing a Suspiria t-shirt and a Suspiria hoodie.
It was Halloween time!
Yeah.
That's completely appropriate. But yeah, last year at this time, last September, I was really looking forward to Halloween. I was looking forward to the reboot, and I was dreading Suspiria, and it was the complete opposite. I adore the remake of Suspiria, and I hated the Halloween reboot. Hated it.
There it is.
It's way too violent. It's more like a Friday the 13th movie than a Halloween movie, and I was very excited about it. And like, it just made no sense. Jamie Lee Curtis was ridiculous in it, and I love her. And here's another question I have about that movie. And I can't believe that they're making two more of them, and it's going to be idiot Danny McBride writing it again, and David Gordon Green directing it. Why doesn't David Gordon Green go back and do movies that he should be doing? Because he's great when he's in his zone. There are a few directors that are as interesting as him. But why the hell would Laurie Strode live in a house that has 9,000 slotted closets in it? Why would she live? Does that not traumatize her? I mean, if that situation that happened in the first Halloween happened to you in a slotted closet, would you move into a house that had 900 slotted closets?
Hmm.
No.
No. Hey, maybe the real estate market in Haddonfield wasn't great.
The only reason it's in there is because it's like It's like, oh, look.
Look, she's back
in the slot. Oh, look, they don't acknowledge it. She doesn't talk about it.
No.
You know, or anything. But it's like, oh, there's a slotted closet.
You got to admit, though, when Michael kills the little fat kid.
I don't even remember.
Oh, come on, it's funny.
I don't remember. I saw it one time. I hated it. I was so disappointed I hated it. So, all right. So next here is the new one. They ranked the new one pretty high here.
Yeah.
Considering some of the cynicism that met Dark Fate's announcement, and inclusion once more of Arnie, it's a rather wonderful feeling to be able to report that it's not only a good Terminator sequel, but it's also a very good action. It's also very good action sci-fi. See, this encourages me. For once, there's no attempt to over-explain anything or even bother talking about the timeline or how the dystopian future remains possible. The Genesis nonsense is excised, and there's a very smart escalation of the Sarah John Connor story. There's a little too much humor in the T-800's role, but it's not all unwelcome and not at all unsuccessful, and there's more than enough balance in emotion and spectacles and the spectacle of balls-to-the-wall action that Tim Miller brings, the director of Deadpool. It deserves to inspire a sequel, even if it might feel like there's a lot left behind, because it poses some interesting questions for the future of the franchise. And the performances of Linda Hamilton, Mackenzie Davis, and a terrifying Gabrielle Luna are all excellent. Shame the title is so awful, though.
Yeah, it's a bad title.
Yeah. That's a good solid review, man.
Yeah, and it seems to reflect a lot of the sentiments of people. Is just that, yeah, this seems to be at least somewhat of a return to form.
Yeah. All right, I'm glad I chose IMAX. I just want it to be really big and loud.
You want to be enveloped by
Absolutely.
Linda Hamilton.
218 Eric Co. says, I'm always leery about any movie that has the creative force behind the original in a supportive role. I'm not going to run to the theater to watch something produced by Cameron or Spielberg or Scorsese unless they're running the show. I can't even get to a level of cautious optimism for a project.
That's fair. I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much James Cameron being an exec producer on this really.
He has a story credit too.
Story credit.
And the way that they're publicizing it on the talk shows is that he was more hands on than everybody would think.
I just don't know why he wouldn't just be hands-on. I mean, yeah. He doesn't need to direct it, I guess.
Well, he's too busy making 95 Avatar movies that nobody wants to see.
Yeah, that's true. It's been 10 years, man.
Avatar is a piece of crap. Avatar is a terrible movie, and nobody wants sequels to it. It's one of those movies. It's one of the biggest movies ever made. Second biggest movie ever made now, because Avengers took it over.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a movie that nobody talks about. You know what I mean? You know, normal blockbusters that make a ton of money, people still talk about it, and you go, oh, yeah, that was great, that was iconic. Nobody talks about Avatar.
Yeah.
Nobody
does. When's
the
last time someone actually watched it?
No, no one watches it. No one cares. It's insane to me that it made the amount of money that it made. And as I've said before, it's the only movie I've ever seen that was written by a bunch of drunk monkeys. Not sober monkeys, drunk monkeys. That's how bad the story is. It is a really terrible movie. And Sam Worthington's in it.
That seems to be a common denominator.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break here. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap this up. The Terminator discussion continues, and we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. And are you going to go see Dark Fate? There's a good question. All right. We'll be right back. Every time I hear this song, Christine. Every single time I think of Christine. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Friday. We'll get to our Friday features coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. Right now, we are talking about the Terminator. And Terminator Dark Fate opens today, and wondering how you guys feel about the Terminator franchise in general, and if you're excited or going to see Dark Fate. And coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN. Okay, so whatculture.com put together a list of all of the Terminator franchise. It's the movies and the TV series, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, and rank them from worst to best. And that's what we're doing. Let's see. 815 area code says, I saw Dark Fate tonight, and it was amazing. Oh, cool. Cool. So somebody went to, obviously, the Thursday night showings. Yeah. Arnold and Linda stepped back into the roles and seemed like they never left them. Great movie, but the theater was empty. Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, part of that could be because
Halloween.
Folks, yeah, Halloween.
Snow.
Yeah. You know, it was not a great night for a Thursday premiere. As someone who worked in the biz,
that's
not a great night for a
that's
Thursday
true.
Premiere.
That's true. You got Halloween and you got snow. Yeah. So I'm sure that added to the business, at least locally here. 301 area code says, I may be in the minority but I think that the first Terminator movie is the best one. Okay, that's next on the list. It comes in second, but I agree with the listener. I think for the first Terminator is the best. I love that movie.
Well, and it's a wholly original concept.
Yeah, and it's what Cameron did with the budget he had. The Paul Winfield, Lance Hendrickson stuff alone is worth the price of admission.
It's so funny.
Oh my God, Lance tells such great stories about working with him because Cameron gave him a lot of freedom to do what they wanted to do. All that stuff is great. Bill Paxton's in it, and he's got a mohawk.
The only man to be killed on screen by an alien, a predator, and a Terminator.
That's exactly right. So here's what they say about the about Terminator. It comes in second, and it's more than any other of the other Terminator movies. The first one blurs the lines between sci-fi and horror on the back of a stunning performance by Arnold Schwarzenegger that took advantage of his limitations as an actor but amplified every reason he was hired. It costs very little compared to the sequels, and it's such a triumph of filmmaking, even without the caveat that it rightly launched James Cameron as a cinematic genius, and for good reason, it's considered one of the most influential movies of its time and the genre. The Terminator himself might well have been completely reimagined in future years, but it was an incredible, almost unfathomable launch point that immediately cemented him as one of the true movie icons. And that's without mentioning great performances by Linda Hamilton and Michael Biehn that offered an emotional balance and grounding the story. It might have been a long time, but it's so great that it barely even aged in conventional terms. One of the reasons why I love the first one so much and like it more than T2, which, by the way, T2 is great. There's no question about it. There's a real heart to the first Terminator. That love story between Michael Biehn and Linda Hamilton works. It has no business working in a low-budget horror sci-fi movie. But they're both so good in it, and it's really well written. And I think their love scene is beautiful. It's I back the first one, and I love the ending. I love the ending of
You're
the
Terminated.
No. The final.
Oh yeah.
The final moment. The coda. I love the ending of that movie. It's so moody and so good. And it was just. It's a perfect just one-off. Like, even if there were no sequels that came out afterwards, that movie works. It has got a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's completely satisfying on every level.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I really, really love it. Now we got what they say is number one. I think most people would agree. You think T2 is the best one, right?
Yeah, I agree. Terminator 2.
It's a tremendously entertaining movie. There's no question about it. And it was a stroke of genius because at that time, Arnold was a huge star. You know, he wasn't when the Terminator came out. He wasn't at all. I mean, put him on that's the movie that put him on the map. It was a stroke of genius to have him be a good Terminator. You know what I mean? Like to have him be funny and be a good guy. And I thought they handled it beautifully. And at that point, you know, Arnold wasn't going to play a villain. He was a hero at that point. And Cameron switched it around really beautifully, I thought. And also the action scenes are ridiculous.
Well,
the special effects were groundbreaking. He played around with those special effects in The Abyss. With those kind of effects,
the liquid Terminator thing,
yeah,
and just the place that Linda Hamilton takes,
absolutely,
Sarah Connor is just unbelievable. She is ripped, in that movie,
and she's great in it. It's a great performance.
Yeah, she you can feel all that heart you were talking about in the first one.
Yeah.
Totally comes back.
Yep.
It's amazing, and of course Robert Patrick.
Yeah,
he's terrifying.
It's great. It's great. It's great. I just prefer the first one, that's all. Having introduced one of the truly great villains in cinema in the first movie, the first sequel bravely turned everything that made the Terminator so great on its head, bringing another villain of almost equal impact. Arnie came back this time as a heroic Terminator. Linda Hamilton's Sarah Connor returned, too, as one of the great badass action heroes of all time. And Robert Patrick was incredible as the new and improved robo-killer. And thanks to some stunning, world-changing effects work, which still absolutely hold up now, Cameron dialed up the trickery and creative cons that had driven the original and made something glossy and incredible. It added another string to Schwarzenegger's bow. Patrick does a lot with the actual material. Edward Furlong is massively overlooked as John, and it's Hamilton who's best in the show here in the whole. And on the whole, it's one of the most rewatchable movies ever made. So, yeah, I've seen it several times. I've seen The Terminator several times, too. It was funny, though, because I really loved Terminator. But at that summer of 91 when it came out, Jim Cameron was married to Catherine Bigelow. And so I always say that, sorry, honey, you know, but my movie's better, Catherine Bigelow would say. Because she made Point Break came out that year, which I maintain is better than T2. So, all right, well, there you go. Hopefully Dark Fate will be good. We'll talk about it on Monday.